Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night again, and God has allowed us one more time to come together. We know we don't know God's plan totally, but we know that we are here tonight, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Mark. You know, last week we did the book of Matthews, and before that we was the 400 years before the Testament, between the Testament, and before that we was in the Old Testament. What I'm trying to do with the lessons is to show you how everything in the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus. And also, the things that was prophesied by the prophets, which was given to them by God, is being fulfilled. So you know if God said it, it's going to come to pass. Nothing can get in its way and nothing can stop it. So when we do this lesson, you could see that I try to tie them in. Our lesson is coming out of the book of Mark. And we're going to be in the first chapter to the 14th verse. And the title of the lesson is John the Baptist Prepare the Way. I just want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity. And I thank God for each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule to call the program as we explore the words of God together. This is not Diane's Bible study, but it's all of our Bible study. This belongs to us, and we should take advantage of what God has given us. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song. When the song is finished, if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. So hear the song, and we'll come back and explore the word of God together. Be prayerful and be blessed.
If my sins had their way, I never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome power.
Won't let you fall in the end of these times.
mercy that watched over me all night long. If it had not been, 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 if it had not been for the love that was on my side. Hey, listen, I got some testimonies, listen. Just like Nineveh that was headed for destruction, God stepped in and he said,
not you.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion's den, God said,
not you.
You're gonna live.
Yeah.
Just like David, who was dearly beloved in spite of, God said,
not you.
Yeah. Hey,
let's talk about you.
If you be honest with yourself tonight, if it had been for the grace of God,
I am so sorry. I've been praying, teaching, preaching, and singing and doing everything, and the mic was off. But I thank each and every one of you that stayed on the line. I have a lot of people that's calling my phone, which made me realize it, that I was off the air. So with that being said, and time is already spent as well, you know, I stayed a good saying, and I prayed a good prayer, you know, even though you guys couldn't hear it, you know, it's good for me. So I just want to say thank you guys for staying on the air. And if you allow me this minute, I will try to track the other ones down. what I'm going to do, since I have to get this straight and you guys couldn't hear it, I'm going to play the song again, if you don't mind. And then we're going to get straight into the lesson, because I have gone to the throne of grace on our behalf. It's just that you couldn't hear it.
If it hadn't been for the grace of God,
time I turn around, it's but God, but God, but God, but God. They said I wouldn't, but God. They said I couldn't, but God. They said I should have been dead, but God. They said I should have been sick, but God. They said I never should have made it, but God. Come on and just shout.
And as that song lets us know, God did it. God paid the price, and all to him we owe. God paid the sin penalty for us that we would never be able to pay. And God is still taking care of us. And we have to ask ourselves, what have we done for Jesus lately? Everybody profess, you know, to know God. Most people know God. Know of God and don't know God, and others call on his name whenever it's convenient for them. But you have to ask yourself, what have you done for him lately? God said in our lessons in the Old Testament that he was a jealous God. And God wants the praises of his people, and one of our purpose he created us for, to give him glory, honor, and praise. And God wants us to enter into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he has prepared the way. He's made all the provisions. All we have to do is walk in, and we still hold back. I'm so sorry for the delay. My mic was on silent, and that's why you guys couldn't hear. But I want you to know that I went to the throne of grace and I did a powerful prayer, I believe, but you guys just couldn't hear it. And in the essence of time, we're going to go ahead into the lesson, so I won't keep you late on tonight. You see, you know, most time people will say, oh, Satan is busy. You know, and he used tactics just like God uses everything he created to work it out together for your good. Satan has certain tactics that he used too. But if he tried to interrupt with tonight, many callers never left off the line. Some callers left off the line and immediately start calling me to let me know, and that's how I was able to put the mic on. And I say thank you. I say thank you. And we're going to go ahead with our lesson tonight. The title of the lesson is John the Baptist Prepares the Way. John the Baptist Prepare the Way. We know that everybody has a purpose and a season for a reason. God ordained everything that he wants to come to pass and have given everyone their purpose and assignments. And John the Baptist's assignment was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Now, if you guys been really paying attention or with us, we know that when the Old Testament ended and the 400 years between the Testament, there was no prophet. God had silenced his ears and his mouth against the people, and they heard nothing from God. So, of course, the people began to do it their own way, doing things that they thought they was big and bad enough to do, doing things and everything that only seemed right in their eyes, and they drifted farther and farther and farther away. You know, God allowed that 400 years of silence, and God was getting some things in order. And as I came into the New Testament, I keep seeing it over and over and over in a new light that before I did the testaments the way that I did, I was able to see it and grasp it the way that I am now. And I hope that it's doing the same thing for you. So after the 400 years, the space between the testament, Jesus is going to come, the new covenant, but God has to prepare the way. He know that the people's hearts had begun to wax cold. They had even more doubt that God was real, and of course his prophecy of a Messiah might not be real, and so they began to go on in any kind of way that they wanted. Not that they were perfect when there was prophets. We know that. But they had even gone farther and farther away. And as the New Testament opens, we talked about the genealogy of Jesus on yesterday, and that he was born and the wise men came to his house, not the manger. And when we come into the book of Mark tonight, you know, we see that Mark was the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And I want to tell you, if you have a Bible and at the beginning of each gospel at the top, it says the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, and the gospel according to John. It was a time in my life when I read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And whenever I was reading, I would say, why do they have the same thing in each one of these books? And why some of the things in some of the books is not in the other? And it came to me so clearly, because when I opened the Bible and saw the gospel according to and the gospel according to Mark, Mark, Luke, and John, I realized that they wrote this gospel according to their experiences or their information that they had. Sometimes a gospel don't include something that another gospel has in it, because maybe that writer was not with Jesus at the time when maybe he performed a miracle or when he was teaching a certain sermon or doing certain things. So some things is in all of the books and some things are not in some of the other books. You'll see when we get to John, John didn't talk a lot about, have a lot of teaching and parables and teaching, because John wanted to show who Jesus was. If we looked at Matthew's written his gospel to the Jews, so you'll see a lot of Jewish stuff and customs, and it'll refer back to a lot of the prophecy. But Mark has less, because Mark's audience was the Gentiles. And every time I say that, my heart flutters, because, you know, a Gentile is anything other than Jews. So all of us are Gentiles, unless I have a Jewish listener on the line. And when we know that God included a writer with our intent in mind in one of the four Gospels, we should say hallelujah. So Luke's main audience was the Gentiles, and we know this because, like, Matthew started his Gospel with Jesus' genealogy and showing his culture and pedigree. See, Mark didn't start with that, because Mark was mostly writing to the Gentiles. The Gentiles wasn't up on all of that, neither did they was a part of all that, and they didn't care about that. So Mark started off with John the Baptist. So when you look at your Gospels, you need to know what each Gospel writer intent is, who they wrote it to and why, and what God was trying to tell. And you could really see that God left nothing out, no one out. And here we see Mark addressing the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Because, you know, they was captured by Rome, and in Rome they began to have Roman Christians that were not Jews. And they was trying to let them fully understand that they have equal privileges as Jews. You know, when God opened the door for the Gentiles, and once we believe, we are heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. There are no big I's and no little U's, and we all have the same, we are all afforded the same privileges, but we have to know it, and we should embrace in it. And Mark's writings was more of Jesus as a shaker and mover. He talked more about the miracles and what Jesus was doing more than what he was teaching. Mark is the first gospel written, but it appears second in the book, in the Bible, of the gospels. He comes second. You see, it should be very interesting to see that Mark, whose mother name was Mary, she was a woman of means back then, and she had a house that was large enough to house people for preaching and teaching and prayer. And, you know, Mark must have was in there a lot of times. And besides that, Mark was with Peter, and he got a lot of his information. And Mark was even with Paul and Barnabas for a certain time. So I just threw that in for Lanyap so you can know how Mark get to write the book. And I have to tell you, Mark was not one of the 12 apostle disciples. But Mark was probably a disciple of God. You see, the apostles, the 12 apostles, was a divine special commission by God. Because, you know, you said apostles, and then we know Paul by God is called an apostle. So plenty of times, sometimes people get all screwed up with apostle or disciple. Apostles, the 12 apostles was commissioned by God, but there were others. And then the apostles always was a disciple before they was an apostle. And disciples are all of us, because God gave us the great commission to go ye therefore and tell somebody who can save anybody. That's all of our jobs. A disciple is one that is taught by the teacher to go out and make disciples of others. And with that being said, we're going to go into the scripture, and I'm going to start with the first and the second verse. I pray that you have your Bibles. I pray that you were able to read your lesson and not just read it, but begin to study it. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you. He said nothing that you ask for, he won't give. And if we look at it, Mark 1 and 2, they say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Plenty of people have asked why they say Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. And then sometimes they have the Son of Man, but here we see the Son of God. The Son of Man is when Jesus is in his humanistic state. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the given name to Jesus, and the Christ is the risen Christ, the Savior, our Lord and Savior and Master. See, Jesus was Jesus until after the death, burial, and resurrection, when he became the risen Christ. And verse 2 say, and it is written in the prophets, behold, I will send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And when I read that, it was so cool to me, because when we were in the book of Malachi, and the book of Malachi was the last book in the Testament, in the Old Testament. In Malachi, they had a scripture, and the scripture said, I will send. It was Malachi 3:1, said the same thing. So when we see Mark saying what was said in the Old Testament, and Jesus, well, John the Baptist is now here and being talked about and performing his ministry, we know that the prophecy which was told in Malachi 3:1 is being fulfilled. Don't you want to know when what God said is being fulfilled and what is left that is unfulfilled? They said, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And the voice of the came crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way, make thy path straight. Now, you know, John the Baptist is the first authentic prophet since the close of the Old Testament, and there was none through the 400 years. So John the Baptist was sent by God to give the message of what God was talking about all that time. He said, now it's about to go down. What you need to do is get ready to receive him. You see, we understand that the gospel means the good news of Jesus Christ. The scriptures talk about sending the Messiah. And we looked and saw in the Old Testament when God said he was doing it. God was letting them know that he was getting everything necessary for the coming of the Messiah that he had talked about and prophesied all the way from the book of Genesis. He would talk to the people and have them to realize that this messenger was from God and that John would bring the powerful message to the people, softening their hearts to receive the new coming king. You see, that's what this was all about. John the Baptist had a mission. And for those who don't know, John the Baptist and Jesus was cousins. And John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. John the Baptist's mother was Elizabeth, and his father was Zechariah. And they were godly people, and Elizabeth was barren, couldn't have a child, and she was old, and Zechariah was old, and God allowed them to be impregnated with a child, and God impregnated Mary. We know how that go, by the Holy Ghost. Mary being confused and wanted to go to an older family member, she went to Elizabeth. Now, none of this is in my written lesson, y'all. The Holy Ghost is having his way, so let's just ride. And Elizabeth, when she opened the door and saw Mary, Elizabeth's baby, which was John the Baptist, was inside of her womb, and it leaped for joy, and they say that he was immediately in the womb full with the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist was born with power, and John the Baptist had a certain mission for a certain season, for a certain reason, for a time like that. And Jesus, Mary was carrying Jesus, and she went to Elizabeth to share the news. You know, sometimes something happened to you, something is said to you, and you just don't know what to do with it, and you got to go talk to somebody. Well, Mary went to Elizabeth, but, you know, in our lives, we talk to the wrong people about what is going on in our lives. They could have a lady that's married and having an issue with her husband, and she go to her single friend. Come on, y'all. You could have a pastor that you can go to, but yet you have a problem, and you go by the lady down the street. See, Mary went to Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth opened the door and she saw Mary, John the Baptist leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth said, Hail Mother, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed are thee, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So for all of the Catholic people out there, that's where the rosary began. And it was given by Elizabeth by divine power of God. And she spoke that to Mary. She was letting Mary know, you're going to have some hardship because you're pregnant and you ain't married. And the man you engaged to ain't, you know, you haven't had any sexual relationship. So you're going to have time. But God is letting you know that you're going to be blessed among women and that your seed is going to be blessed. I tell y'all, God never asks us to do nothing without providing provisions, and he never set us up to fail, and he never sticks us out, but we got to walk through his journey. See, it was probably pressed on her mind, and she had to go far off to go to Elizabeth, but something in her told her to go to Elizabeth. God is directing and leading us into places he wants us to go. But we are holding back for whatever reason, for whatever reason. So that's where John the Baptist began, who his parents was. we see God gave him the assignment. And if we look at verse 4, they say, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there come one mightier than I after me, the latches of those shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Yeah, John told him to repent and be baptized. John the Baptist knew his place. You know, they got so many people, God gave them one mission to do, and they all in another mission. They all somewhere else. You know, we have to learn what God has assigned to us, because what's for us is for us. See, John didn't try to take first place after Jesus, because John right here states, he said, his shoes I'm not even worthy to latch. See, God, Jesus, John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew his place. He knew his ministry. And he knew his assignment. You see, baptisms was already being done back at that time. I don't want y'all to believe that John the Baptist was the first one baptizing. Baptisms was already being performed. And you see what would happen if they had a person that was a non-Jew who wanted to be converted, they had to be baptized into Judaism, which was their religion. But to baptize a Jew, it as a sign of repentance, this, you know, they baptize them into Judaism, and not John the Baptist is trying to get them to be baptized as a sign of repentance. You see, this was a radical departure from the Jewish custom. You see, the early church, to baptize a step further, they began to associate it with Jesus. Now, they had baptized of Jews into Judaism. Then John the Baptist talks about repentance and sin with water baptism. And now the early church is going to step farther. They identifying the baptism with the death and the resurrection. You see, in Israel, people were ready for Jesus. They had heard. Now John the Baptist come with some power, more than they had experienced in 400 years, and they ready for a new thing. They ready. And they flocked to hear his desert preaching. They had, you know, had nothing happen for them for so long. You see, so what happened, anticipation was growing that a great prophet, or the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament would come. Come on now. They was talking about John the Baptist, and some of them probably remembered the scripture and was talking about Jesus. But you see, the purpose of John preaching was to prepare the people to accept Jesus as the Son of God. John dressed like the prophet Elijah in order to distinguish himself from the religious leaders. You know, they had on flowing robes, and it reflected their great pride and their position. You know, they dressed to impress. And here John, you know, walking around with skins around him and eating locusts and wild honey, and his hair was long and so on. You see, John didn't want to emphasize himself. He didn't want them to start glorifying him, looking at him. He didn't want them to look at him, but he wanted them to hear the message. John was the first genuine prophet. And so long, Jesus the Messiah would be much greater than I, he said. You know, they thought John the Baptist was everything in a bowl of soup. They had been absent so long from any hearings from God. But John the Baptist was telling them the Messiah would be much greater than I. You have to remember what John began, Jesus finished. What John prepared, Jesus fulfilled. And that was as in a nutshell. And we have to be conscious of that and know our place and learn how to stay in our lane. And if we look at verse 8 through 13, they say, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. All righty. Here we go. Verse 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it shall come to pass in those days that Jesus come from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And 10 said, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove. You know, people say the dove came up, and the scriptures say a spirit like a dove ascending upon him. And 11 say, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus get baptized. And look what happens in verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Now, look at this. The Spirit driven him into the wilderness. You see, because after Jesus was baptized, they had another phase that God had set up in a master plan for Jesus to be tempted. Because verse 12 say, and immediately the Spirit driven him into the wilderness. That's 12. And 13 said, and he that war in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angel administered to him. This is a prime example of what I was trying to explain, how the writing of Mark is. Mark gets straight to the point. If you go to the other gospel where he talks about the temptation of Jesus, it's going to go into Lent. You know, they're going to say that Satan take Jesus on a rock and asks him to jump down, and he asks Jesus to bow unto him, and he kept trying to tempt Jesus with all of these things. But you see, Mark, that's the way he did it, and that's the way he writes. That's why it's important to study the Bible. You see, if you'd have read Mark, that's all you'd have ever had if you'd have never went into the other Gospels, like Matthew's or one of the other Gospels that talks about the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. You'd have read this, and it's all you would have had. But that's the way Mark writes, and I'm glad I'm able to show you that so you can see, and you could look on the concordance and see where it's listed in another gospel, and you could get all the details. But we know how the story went. Satan, the Spirit brought Jesus to the wilderness and to be tempted by Satan, and Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Now, we know Satan tempted Eve in the wilderness, and Eve you know, she went along with it. She was persuaded, and she sinned. But you see, now Satan is trying the same tactics on Jesus. You might say, why, Sister Diane? Because with Satan, there's nothing new. You see, the same way he gets me to do things is the same way he gets you to do things. Satan has no newness like Jesus Christ is new. We have newness every day. God take time and understand what it would take for us to be fulfilled and for him to work it out for our good, and all of our things are tailor-made. Well, you see, Satan don't have that much going on. So he tempted Eve, and she was persuaded, and she sinned, and y'all know what happened. So now he's with Jesus, and he tempting Jesus, and he trying to tempt him with all of these promises that he couldn't fulfill. You know he couldn't give Jesus the temple, because the temple, you know, the kingdom, because it didn't belong to him. He asked him to bow down and worship him. But you see, Satan, if Satan tempted Jesus, what about you? If we looked up early and see that Jesus was baptized, you might say, Sister Diane, why was Jesus baptized? Because the baptism was for the remission of sins. As John the Baptist, who baptized him, he was saying, repent and be baptized. Jesus didn't have any sin, so why would he have to be baptized? But you got to realize that Jesus wouldn't ask us to do anything. And remember, when he was in the form of Jesus, he was a human. So when he is asking us to do things, he wants us to know why we did it, and he did it. You see, Jesus allowed himself to be baptized, but he had no sin. You see, Jesus was walking as a man, being an example for us. You see, baptism is an outward show to let everyone know that you decided to follow Christ. I teach new members at my church, and many times people come up and they believe that baptism is the guarantee for salvation, which is not true. You see, baptism is an outward show to let people know that you have decided to follow Christ. Baptism does not save a person. You see, the minute you accept Christ as your Savior with your whole heart, body, and soul, you are saved. And I say, if you accepted him with your heart, your body, and your soul. You see, but this baptism we are talking about, and what Jesus did, it wasn't for repentance of sin. He was showing us humanity and giving us an example of how we can really turn from sin. You see, that was the beginning of the spiritual process, of a sanctification process in our lives. We are being separated. We are being set apart. And some people will say, well, you have to be baptized to have salvation. The only thing I can find in Scripture to show you why I don't believe that is true, when Jesus was on the cross with the two thieves, one on the left and one on the right, and Jesus, the man asked Jesus to remember him, and Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, Jesus followed rules, customs, and the commands of God wholeheartedly. If baptism was the only way it was necessary for your salvation in a way like that, Jesus would have had to get off the cross, take that thief off the cross, bring him to the body of water, and baptize him. because Jesus wouldn't have changed what was already in place. And then we also see a lot of times when people accept Christ on their deathbed, we as Baptists believe in water submersion with baptism, and the Catholic people sprinkle. So I would imagine when the priests come and give the last rites and they accept Christ, he can sprinkle them. But I don't think nobody's going to take the man off his dying bed, bring him to the church house to be baptized. I want you to know when they was baptizing, like I say, John the Baptist was for repenting in sin, and he baptized with water. And then Paul came and talked about the baptism, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul talked about this in Acts 19 and 2. And Paul wanted them to be baptized again. So after John Paul started his ministry, and he said in Acts 2, 19, 2 and 6, he said unto thee, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. This was the people coming. And 3 said, and he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said unto him, unto John baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that thou shalt believe on him which should come after him, that is Christ Jesus. You see, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, and when we talk about that dove came from heaven, that's when you see the total Trinity at work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we get back to Satan and the temptation, you see, Satan is an angel who rebelled against God. He is real. He's not symbolic, and he's constantly working. I want you to know that Satan take no times out or vacations, or he take his job seriously, even more than Christians. He realized that we are in a battle, and he's doing everything he possibly can to try to win. But we know he can't. We know it's impossible, because the word of God teaches us that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. And Satan is only trying to see if there's a little gap that he could get in and maybe do something. You see, Satan tempted Jesus, then what about you? You see, when we decided to follow Christ, up jumped the devil. I have so many people that come in, new members, and they tell me, well, Sister Diane, since I accepted Christ, look like everything in my life is going wrong. You have to remember, before you decided to accept Christ as your Savior, and as you grow in grace and the knowledge of God, and you begin to do things that God is asking you to do, then Satan have a problem with you. Satan has no problem with you before then, because you're doing whatever you want to do, how you want to do it, why, when, and where you want to do it. And if you're not doing it in reference to God, you're all right with doing it with Satan. So you see, when we accept Christ, you know, up gonna jump the devil. You see, before we accepted Christ, Satan had you right where he wanted you. Christ showed up, showed us how to resist temptation. You know, in the wilderness, Satan said, yeah, I'm going to give you the kingdom. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do the other, which he couldn't. But Jesus told him, turn these rocks into turn these stones into bread. Because he knew Jesus was hungry. You see, Satan come to attack you at your lowest part, your lowest point. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and because of his humanistic side, you don't need to say, oh, yeah, he was Jesus, he wasn't hungry. The human in him was very hungry. and say, try to get him when he down. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, God, Jesus Christ, allowed himself to be tempted by Satan to prove his humanistic side. He hungered. And he also allowed us to see how to deal with Satan in our temptation. He used the word of God. He said they should not live by bread alone. He's telling you the word of God is your defense. You got to know it to be able to use it. And as I get ready to close the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, I'm sorry, said after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. John was then, soon after, he baptized Jesus and he did a little more. He was put in prison. And we know how the story with that goes. John the Baptist was martyred for preaching and teaching Jesus. He was beheaded by the king. You know, and I often say nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed it. He didn't orchestrate the situation for John the Baptist to be beheaded. But I could tell you one thing. John the Baptist had came, he lived, and he fulfilled his purpose. And Jesus began preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And 15 said, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's my lesson for tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you receive something that could help you connect the dots. I pray that everybody receives something to see how the hand of God is moving in and through all of creation. That's why he's called the host of God. Because he hosts the whole universe. He is a hostess with the mostest for the whole entire universe. And that includes you. There are a lot of things we will never understand. There's plenty of things we'll never be able to comprehend. Because in Mark's book, he talked about God, about Jesus doing certain things and asked for it to be kept a secret. So that lets us know everything is not for us to understand. Some things we understand by and by. But God is in control. I thank God for allowing Mark to write the gospel for the Gentile audience. I thank God for John the Baptist who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank God for being God, and I thank him for sending his son, and I thank him, hallelujah, for his Holy Spirit. I thank God because I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. He's working it out for my good. Come on, y'all. It's not predicated on what I could do, where I've been, and who I went with, but it's all predicated on me and his son. Jesus paid the price. He paid it all with his blood. And it granted us grace, which is God's treasures, his greatest treasures, at Christ's expense. So let's keep this in mind. You know, I could give you lesson after lesson, but I have to give you the relationship and express how much God loves us. or the lessons won't do any good. That's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to say anything, you know, about Jesus Christ, about John the Baptist, about the Holy Ghost, you know, you could press the one button and I'll open the mic. Again, I say I'm sorry for the technical difficulties that had, but God has brought us through. If anyone has a praise report, anybody would like to say something, you could press the one button and I'll open your mic. If not, that'll be our program for tonight. And I'm going to just lead out with a benediction, because it is always my same desire for everyone, is that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we talked about apostles and disciples and learned that a disciple is one that's being taught by the teacher to go out and teach others, to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It is all of our job. It is all of our responsibility. And I pray that you never say you don't know enough, because if all you know is God is a good God and he's worthy to be praised, you tell that. And if you have any testimony in your life, you might can't quote the Bible scriptures very well, but you could tell them what God has done in your life. None of us will be excused for not sharing a word. They said, oh, Jesus can't come back until everyone has had a chance to hear the word. And I believe that there's someone out there waiting to hear it from you. So that's our lesson for tonight. And I want to remind you, if you take care of God's business, God's going to take care of your business. Hallelujah. And God loves you, and so do I. If anyone would like to say something, this is the last call. And if not, we'll go off the air. Thank you guys for allowing me to come to you Wednesday after Wednesday as we explore the Word of God together. God loves you, and so do I. Have a great night. Be blessed. Enjoy your week. Invite Jesus in even more intimately. And with that, I can say good night. God bless you.